Now then from the first quarter, the expenditure goes down until the fourth quarter. So, to us, it says that something from is not going to rise. So, if you could just also comment around those things teaching. But coming to national treasury itself, no, TG, you have those programs that are not performing
nationally.
And one of those programs is the neighborhood development grant. Neighborhood development grant, we've had discussion for years. And to us, it would really, I mean, we have raised this matter previously. What is the problem with this grant? Do people understand what is it that they are supposed to be doing? Why is it that it's underperforming, you know? Because complicated, and what are those kind of things? It's one of those what we call the grants that are underperforming. Well, for now, the program 2 as well, it is performed. The one thing is that, as you know, I think you have over 2 billion. That has not been said. Now we get worried now if so much money has not been spent. We had the PDG for public finance, Mr. Donaldson. I think that it did indicate some of the issues, but we agreed that we'll deal with the details in this meeting. So that is why we have invited you. So on that note, I would like to invite you at
thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the rest of the members for helping us here. It's a great pleasure. We are quite happy to explain or respond to the issues that the Chair has raised to the best of our ability, to have the answers and satisfy the committee entirely. Remains to be seen. I mean, I will put a slide presentation about 20 slides, I think. Just over 30. We will be joined later on by Mr. Kachwai, who is the DBSA, because a significant part of the understanding relates to the health fund, but I'll explain why. And when it comes to some of the final details that relate to that, you assist with the explanation. The first slide, you'll see just set up the outline of the presentation. I won't waste your time with it. The second slide just describes where the Treasury's mandate derives from, Chapter 13 of the Constitution, the PFMA, and the whole host of other pieces of legislation relating to, for instance, banks, pension funds, and so on. Then slide number 4 talks to the general responsibilities of the Treasury, which the committee is fairly familiar with, but it just helps to recap on those, you know, fiscal policy, macroeconomic policy coordination, in particular coordination between ourselves and the sub in that regard, given our role of prescribing frameworks within which monetary policy gets exercised, and then understanding of all the independence of the house in terms of implementing the monetary policy within that framework, and the prescribed need to for the Minister of Finance and the Governor of the Bank to talk to one another in so far as that is concerned. Very important function which relates to the preparation of the budget and ensuring that the resources that are raised maximally are divided equitably, first between the spheres and then within each sphere, using the various formulae that we use, be it for conditional grants or the equitable share. And then the management of government resources is, you know, right across the board, your cash management, the liaison with the rest of government departments insofar as government is a shareholder in a range of entities, but also facilitating the transparency and accountability, which helps Parliament in exercising its role and holding departments or offers as any agencies accountable. I need not perhaps remind members that the current government has adopted the outcomes approach, where 12 outcomes were identified, and various departments contribute in different ways to different outcomes. In our case, we contribute to the three of those outcomes that are highlighted in red. Very importantly, the outcome that relates to employment creation through inclusive economic growth, but also outcome 9 and 12, which are about creating accountable, effective and efficient local government system, but also just an efficient and effective development-oriented public service in its entirety, which outcomes that we contribute to less through the resources that we are tasked with managing on behalf of government, but sometimes more in terms of technical support that we provide through the Accountant General Office and Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Division. For 2012, some of the achievements are highlighted in slide 6. Both include the fact that we had stated at the start of that year in the budget that the budget sought to find the balance between consolidating our fiscal position, coming out of the global financial crisis a year plus earlier, and indeed we think that the fiscal terms that we had proposed, which Parliament had approved, did indeed contribute to the recovery that we saw, the positive growth that we saw in the face of sluggish growth around the globe. We also had indicated that we would do everything in our power to try and make sure that we contain the growth in debt service costs in a context where our debt was rising quite substantially because of the increased deficit that we've been running since 2008-09. And indeed, our debt service costs have remained fairly flat at around 2.5%. Insofar as providing support to municipalities to facilitate the attainment of outcome 9, we have provided training to multitudes of councillors in municipalities at a different level, and of course we have continued to hold South Africa's flag at a range of multilateral institutions, the BRICS formation that we joined not so long ago, the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, African Development Bank, and many others. Last year, when we tabled the budget, we also published a range of papers in the areas of savings and retirement. Some of those are being consulted on quite extensively, in particular with labor, for instance. As recent as 2 days ago, some of the members of staff from the department were at a workshop with labor discussing some of the proposed reforms on retirement. In terms of the amount of funds that we appropriated to the Treasury by program and how these were used and how much understanding there was or how much variance there was between the amounts allocated and the actual budget, these are set out in slide 7. Slide 7 will indicate that if you just take the example of the administration program, which is that our corporate services is the finance division of the Treasury, the supply chain management division, the HR division, that program was allocated in the final budget to 81 million and the spending was 251, about 9.4% under expenditure on that program. We can go down to the program in the second one, economic policy, tax and financial regulation and research. In fact, the bulk of the understanding there relates to the research rate, which is the money that we set aside and make available to universities for undertaking research that supports the economic policy development in government in areas, for instance, such as one that's been recently agreed to between us and UCT on stuff relating to employment or unemployment, just understanding the dynamics of that within the South African economy and how those problems could be overcome. Now, the difficulty with such programs is that it takes long to actually arrive at an agreed program and research, and of course we don't want payment to run ahead of the work program. People get the resources as the research progresses as they need the money. If we go down, the other area of significant under expenditure, the 103 million, is in relation to IFMS, so-called, the Integrated Financial Management System. What's peculiar about that one is the fact that whilst we reflected that under expenditure last year, in this year we have got actually significant spending pressure because about 70 million from work that was done last year carried forward this year. So the invoices from SICA only reached us in this financial year for work done last year. Now, you get those mismatches, but it's a good problem to have because it does mean some work has been done and then the invoicing has come through ultimately, and then through the rollover process, we hope that we can request the Treasury to allow us to roll over the money and then let the payment get done. But the Treasury. Now, if you go further down, you will see that below subtotal, the other area of under expenditure relates to transfer. That's where the jobs fund is, and which is the biggest part of the under expenditure. But we'll get back to the jobs fund. There are about 5-6 slides that just deal with jobs fund. We'll explain the concept and explain, perhaps how we think we should look at a program like that and analyze spending trends in it as distinct from others. Then the next slide that summarizes the under expenditure by economic classifications. I mean, this stuff is what I've already said, actually. Then the main, if we get now to other finer details in relation to the under expenditure, insofar as personnel is concerned, we started the year with a vacancy rate of about 14%. In other words, we closed the previous year, 2010-11, with a vacancy rate of about 14%. We improved quite a bit on that because the vacancy rate decreased to 9.5. I was just pointing out to the colleague that, in fact, given the fact that we phased out a few posts, if we were to use the same establishment as the previous year, the vacancy rate would be below 8%. But of course, we phased out some of the posts that we felt we no longer needed. Now, ideally, a department would want to keep the vacancy rate as low as possible. But part of the difficulty with filling up of vacancies is the fact that the biggest stumbling block arises from the fact that a number of jobs in government tend to be filled through promotion and mainly internal promotion. But even when you end up with internal promotion, it's usually the requirement that the post must be advertised. Now that process takes quite a bit of time. When you advertise, you close the advert, you do the shortlisting, and then you you do the selection. After constituting a panel, you make an offer to a person, and then the person gets promoted. That's the first problem, because when one person then gets promoted from within the department, the vacancy rate, the post gets filled, but the vacancy rate in the department as a whole hasn't changed. Because on a net basis, a person has moved from one level, say level 8, to another level, say level 9 or 10. Now, in the case of the treasury, for the year that we are considering here, about 65 posts were filled with people who had been promoted from within. That gives you, that gives the members just a picture of how the situation was. Right? If out of 150-something posts, or 170-something, at the time, yes. Yes, if out of about 155 appointments that were made in the year, right? 68 were people who were promoted from within. So what that means is that instead of reducing the vacancy rate, you have filled posts, but the vacancy rate would remain unchanged. You then start again to advertise, and it's not, I mean, it's not a bad problem to have, because part of the reason why the Treasury has been able to have the same people over a long period of time is because people come in at very low levels sometimes, and they grow within the institution. The case in point may be the person sitting in this committee now. When I joined as the Treasury in 1998, I joined as a deputy director, and I'm about to exit it right at the top. So that just that gives you how the thing was. The second example of a reason why you get delays is because people decline the offer. In our case, for the year in question, we had 16 people declining the offer. In other words, you offer the person a job, but the institution where they are, because the person is good, when they hear that the person has been offered a job, they counter offer. They say to the person, "Look, we'll pay you more." Say. So the person then says, and of course then you either restart the process, or if there was a second candidate that you thought also qualified, then you start to pursue that person and so on. Now, in terms of the that explains a bit the matter that they relate to persist. No, we do get people on board at the person still. I mean, notwithstanding this difficulty. But I was just explaining that I mean, overall, the number of people that we employed in that year is actually 120, thereabouts. Yeah. So that's the number of appointments that we made. Now, if you just do a very simple calculation, which deducts the number of appointments from the number of vacancies that we started the year with, the picture looks good. But in terms of the net change in the vacancies, it's not as good as one would like it because of the reasons that I've just explained. The other areas of deviation related to expenditure, that is, related to the bank cost recovery payments to the staff. But the problem with this kind of expenditure is that we had to estimate with the staff the amount of cost that they would have to recover from us for the services that they offer. And it's a very difficult one because you don't know how many transactions you will do, in relation to exchange controls, administration and stuff. You just don't know how much. So we had to put an estimate. As it turned out, that estimate was off by about 50 million. I've explained the second one in relation to the tax. And IFMS, by the way, I also explained, and the delay in implementation and the delay in interesting actually more than that. So, but that expenditure is going to then carry forward into this year. Now, in relation to the jobs fund, as I said, we'll get into details on that and how different it is from the rest of the program. And more importantly, something I just want the members to embed in their heads at this stage is the fact that this is a very unique fund in the sense that it's a challenge fund. It is where government, if I want to use the challenge word again, challenge the private sector to say, come up with a groundbreaking idea. Come up with a game-changing idea that's innovative, where you can demonstrate that with the idea, you are prepared, you are so convinced that it would work, that you are prepared to put your own money to it as the private sector. So if you say that the project would require, say, over the next 3 years, something like 100 million, agree that you are prepared to put your own 50 million to the project. And the project must demonstrate that it would employ young people, it would employ women, which are the groups that we feel are overrepresented amongst the unemployed. Now, and to do this, people have got to prepare applications, and in the process, some people are taking chances, others are just not really able to prepare a good plan, even if they are not taking chances, they are diligent and they want to do the right thing. But at the same time, the rate at which then the spending takes place between the amount that the private sector person contributes and what government puts in can be very low. What then we tend to emphasize in our case with the DBSA in terms of what we look at is how much commitment do we have? In other words, from the pool of resources that we have for this program, do we have enough projects that are underway, that have been approved, which would absorb the money over time and then create the jobs that we want to achieve? But as I said, I will come back to this later. The Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, the spending on this one has really improved, and one who showed this in numbers. But of course, there have been some hiccups, which were connected to the changes in government, in local government at one stage, which then caused some projects to stall because the new people wanted to understand whether they were still committed to this thing, how the grant went, and therefore they asked us themselves to slow down the transfer. And of course, when people say that, we heed it, because you can't just keep pushing the money so that it does what you were referring to, Jefferson, where you said that you get to the end of the third quarter, people have spent only 50%, you get to the end of the year, the money has disappeared. I think it says that we would need oil, the brand work on doing that. I mean, we would rather than be here explaining why we have had to hold back when the money is there, otherwise unintended consequences could result. Lastly, the building that we acquired, which we are refurbishing, which is next door to the one that we are currently occupying, there was an amount of about 20 million, I think, allocated for that purpose. We spent roughly about half of it because the work on the ground is not progressing fast enough. I mean, the contractor is on site, procurement has been done, but just the speed at which the work is taking place is a little bit slow. Part of it, by the way, and I wouldn't say it's in presence of the contractors, because They make so much noise that because, and sometimes during the day we say to them, talk a bit, because we can't hear each other in meetings, because they use some machines to sort of pick up certain pieces up. So that contributes a little bit to the delay, but of course there are other delays as a result of, so the amount that we set aside for laying out the wires for IT related stuff have not been sent. Now the next slide then takes us to the NDPG, the National Development Partnership, Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant. Perhaps the most important column to look at, honorable members and chairperson, is the last column. Just if you go through those reasons, and I won't read all of them to you, but they give you a sense of reasons where sometimes the money was delayed. The first one, just the project plan submission took longer than anticipated, and approvals were therefore delayed. But funds will be available to continue the project this year. That's in relation to, for instance, local municipality. The next one, where full amount was actually withheld, the plan was not completed, and therefore the procurement of the services was delayed. But you get reasons, for instance, such as where in one municipality the council had changed, and therefore they wanted to be given a little bit of time to evaluate the project and see if they still want it the way it was conceived by the preceding council.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, DG.
Yeah.
Where is the Lammerberg local municipality? Tell me where that is, please. I don't know any of any such municipalities.
I can assure you that we haven't made that his name. What would happen is that the name may have changed. The name may have changed in between.
It's been changed for about 5 years.
But, the chancellor that when he said... Yeah. Okay, we will take care of that. In fact, one day I got lost in the going to the office because the last time I checked, the office was in Salmela, but then the next day it was, but it was, those things happened. I apologize, but the point one is making, you just get a sense of the broad spectrum of reasons why some delays would occur. But when we get to the slide after the next one, members would see, honorable members, the one didn't decide it properly, I can assure you that the dot is in the right place here. So this is just a spread of the municipalities. When you look at this, you might think that housing gets too much. That's not quite the case, because that housing geographically is a small problem. If you were to compress it, the picture of the other problems, you would see the consideration. Next slide. I don't know how to tell you now. The honorable chair is starting. Now, when you get to the next one, you will see, the projected plan approval, about 3 billion, right? The projected plan approval. Now, these projects, of course, because they are infrastructure, they go for a long period of time. The burn rate of the money takes longer, but I would encourage honorable members to visit some of the projects to the extent that they are within their reach. Because the impression I got from the two projects that I visited, one of them because it's closer to my home, I had nothing to do with the approval of the money going there. By the way, I might say it clearly upfront. The project started long before I was in this role, but had nothing to do with this grant, except that now, because... the interesting thing about it is that it's in a location or township as it's called, called Uganda Legal in Utah. But the way it brings together different parties and brings about change within a locality, but you can see then why it takes long. Because it's about, you know, the municipality bringing its own money, national government through this camp bringing its bid, and then on private sector parties, you know, shops, sort of clinics or a medical center and stuff like that, which is quite a great process. But that kind of work is not the kind of stuff that within a very short space of time you get cohesion among the people and all the parties involved. So you can see then the process approval and you know, the numbers increasing from last year to this year. Hugas last year, 198 projects, by this year, 258 projects. Projects that have been tendered for, projects that were under construction, projects that have been completed last year, 612, and this year, 116. So that that kind of gives people the sense. No. I'm saying 62, sorry, 62 and then 115. I'm running ahead of myself, sorry. I'm running ahead of myself, I apologize. Fortunately, at least the member caught me there. I apologize. Then let's get to the job fund. Now, I've described what the job fund sort of thing to do, which is what is in the first two bullets here. The target would be to create 150,000 permanent jobs. Now, this is quite important because as distinct from the other projects, in government, you know, which actually take up significant proportions of money, and rightly so, they create only short-term employment. People are employed today, but a year later, the project or program phases out in that area because there is no more work. Like, you know, you're working for water type project. There is so much that people can cut in this alien plant. And at some point, they are all gone. There is no more. But these ones are looking for innovative ideas with some permanency. So, what? No. But these are very important. They are very important examples because they are distinctions. In other words, this is the point, and I want this. This is not to say the other programs are bad. It is a different. They even in name, the other programs are called short-term employment. No, I have said that.
So,
but the point perhaps to emphasize then, without comparison, is that this is about creating 150,000 permanent jobs. Jobs whose funding is not only by government. In other words, if these jobs, 150 jobs, are to cost X amount of money, 50% of that money would have come from the private sector and 50% from government to start the jobs. But over the longer term, the full cost of those jobs would be borne by the private sector. Because by 2016-17, we expect that the jobs fund would actually phase out. So the idea would be that then you would have those jobs permanent. So the nature of the project, therefore, is predicated on that understanding. Now, how is the jobs fund different from the other initiatives? I've indicated that the allocation process is through a competitive process on a competitive basis. We open up the applications, and both public and private sector institutions get invited to apply, and in the process then the job fund just provides kind of one-off grant for a limited period, which is provided on the basis of matching that I referred to. The aim is to create sustainable jobs, create these jobs on a scale, and of course, I've emphasized the partnership approach in the beginning. All of the projects get subjected to rigorous evaluation. We will see the numbers later. We received thousands, or the GPSA received thousands of applications, but out of those, only a handful of them actually go through the filter. The emphasis is on innovation. As I said, it's kind of projects that are groundbreaking, or if you will, that are game-changing. Now, this is the sort of set out insofar as the allocation is concerned and the expenditure with the different components. I mean, the immediate year, I would say that what we thought we could spend has been actually transferring the grant to the project initiator, the institution. We were a bit optimistic on that, but the commitment that we have been able to yield from the process do look quite good. So that those are the numbers. In other words, the most important one, looking at that 2 billion, that's the amount that we had allocated. But the amount that actually left the bank account was 272. But the commitment of that amount were far much higher, closer actually to the 2 billion than the 272. Now, if we had adopted an approach that says, let the projects that are qualified receive the money up front, which then means you have lost control, by the way. We could have gotten rid of the money, but we didn't opt for that approach. Instead, we want to see that work is happening on the ground, and then over a period of time, over the life of the project, the funds will flow to those programs. So what has been achieved with this trust fund, with the trust fund in 2011? Well, in all of those members will remember that the minister launched the fund on the 7th of July, I think it was last year during the budget vote. Although it was announced, but the launch, if you will, the opening of the door and the invitation of application, when all the frameworks were there, the institutions existed and so on, was in July. So at least we used last year then to set up the processes, build the capacity to process the application. Now, the law happened in Parliament. I think the rest of the members of the committee were in Parliament. We didn't have it. There was no party check. It was that day. Okay. I'll draw the minister's attention to that. So the implementation of the application for the foreign selection, you know, we've now set up the process. We've done round application, as I indicated. We received 2,600 applications in the first round, but of those, only 34 were approved. And some of the approved ones, by the way, after some pushback and foreign employees. And those projects, I think I've already hinted that they will use up 1.8 billion over the next 3 years. So in absolute terms, the number is not very far from what has been allocated, but the burn rate is not going to be exactly as the amount allocated. So we've developed now grant agreement and the work contract which are under implementation. A job fund management information system for process for applications, for appraisals and reporting has been developed, and we've got now a call center. And of course, round two call for application or proposals went out in April this year. Now, in terms of the achievements, in terms of the creation of the program, you can see again the things that have been done, you know, including the training of officials on strategic and government framework for the Jobs Fund. In essence, most of these things are about just building the capacity to run this program, which we didn't have before we the decision to create the Jobs Fund was established, because we didn't know we would need the capacity in any event. Now, some of the reasons for the delay were the fact that, in fact, starting the program took quite some time because we had to enter into an agreement with the CBSA. We had to enter into an agreement with the DBSA, and the numbers of the applications that came in were far beyond what we had anticipated. And of course, although we ended up with 34, but the other 2,500 and something, 76, they were not 2,566. They were not just dismissed outright. You know, first they had to be looked into and examined and evaluated before they could be they could be turned down. And of course, managing the approvals and stuff like that also took long. Now, just in farm then on this program, it's going to run for 5 years, as indicated, and the grant amount that will be expended over the 5 years are just over 8 billion. We anticipate we've done the round one now. The remaining amount is going to be done over the next 2 years, the approval, but then the expenditure is going to take place over the 5 years, as I indicated. And I think that we can skip the rest of them. I think that we can go the advice repetitive. We can go to the last one. So I mean the other area that we thought it would be worthwhile just drawing the attention of the committee to is the change that occurred in relation to non-statutory forces. The people have been moved now to be part of the EPF like everyone else. What we've done, because the EPF has been slightly overfunded actuarially, we didn't give the EPF the money. So the people are drawing the benefit. They have moved to the EPF. But we have an understanding with the EPF that as and when government is able to put money in to meet that 4.3 billion, then we will pay the EPF that money. But there is no problem at this stage. As I indicated, I mean, we've had challenges with the FMI, but, you know, from last year at least, we saw a little bit of increase in spending towards the end of the year, but we'll sort out the remainder this year. Just to go back a person to the comments and questions that you made at the beginning, and you asked me to comment on. I mean, I've dealt with the NTPG, which is a non-performing, in your words, a non-performing program on our table. I mean, so we do get programs and projects that are in certain departments. I mean, this spending trend, or what as one, and some people call it the mark spike. It is a puzzle because that existing side by side with the requirement that payments should be made within 30 days is quite an anomaly because the expectation should be that more or less, say perhaps for the third quarter, but throughout the year, more or less, spending should average out, to amounts that don't suggest that most payments get kept or are delayed and then only affected in the fourth quarter. But I would want to say that, I mean, departments do differ. You do find those where, you know, they may take some time in the early stages, contracting and so on, and then later on the work really takes off and stuff like that. But it's not justified in all cases. In some cases, there may be downfalls, but in others, it's simply a matter of towards the end of the year, then people realize that the door is going to be shut, and they do indeed process payment or even buy things that they think they may need in future, or buy things in some instances that they may not really need, but because they realize, look, we will lose the money if we don't spend it, and therefore they spend money like that. Now, in a context where there is clear budgeting, we perhaps should not see that, and also in a context where the rollover process works, In other words, if you have committed, but the money has not been paid, like the example I was making with FMN, you should rather then look at proving that you have committed and actually work has been done, and therefore your project is a candidate for a rollover, rather than find creative ways to get the money out of the bank so that you are safe. I think that explains. Let me pause, Asha. My colleague will take all the questions. The capital is just I'm not going away.
Engineer will be able to pay for that. So we requested
Parliament to set aside money on present vote to set up the ID and then make people available to department. Now, some department sees this with alacrity, but others at first were reluctant. So, but in instance, if the people embrace that kind of support, it showed some good results. Where they didn't, then they were lagging, and some then later on came on board, and so we didn't hold our arms and pointed at the fact that people were not, you know, work was not happening. Similarly, in local government, we had we do a number of things. One of them was what we established in the DBSA with Hussein Zaman. It took a little while for it to really take off, which actually hired multitudes of technical experts in infrastructure delivery, but also in other areas in the municipality. And these people were sent out and went. We even went, in fact, in relation to Sierra Leone, to encourage municipalities to hire young graduates, preferably from their localities, who had just qualified in these fields of engineering and stuff like that, so that they could learn and become professional at those qualifications so required. We did that. Now, it was beginning to really take off, then there was the change of moving it to COCTA, and I'm presuming that COCTA is continuing then with that stuff. In our case, as president, we are only focusing now on bits that relate to financial management. Providing support in that area. So that's what we do there. Is it enough? I don't know. If it was enough, I would presume it would have, I mean, the picture would have been looking different. Now, in relation to national department, it's not usually terribly easy because the laws are fairly easy in relation to intervening in provinces and local governments, very clear. There's a constitutional and legal basis. In so far as the national department, it tends to be by and large sort of showing them that, look, things are not working. If you think that we can help, please help out. And that's why we've got the Technical Assistance Unit in the Treasury, which, again, you know, has been working with departments, as you know, in some cases, we were involved even in the turnaround at Home Affairs. I wouldn't claim credit to the Treasury for the whole turnaround. The SARS were there, and at their own initiative, they also attracted other people from the private sector. The most important thing in these things is that if I've got a problem in my department, if I admit it, and I know that the person next door can offer help, I go to them. Then it's easier for that help to have an impact. But if someone else usually just comes and says, you have got a problem, you know the story about an alcoholic, you know. If someone just told you, looks like you've got a problem with your drinking, usually they take exception and they just continue drinking and drink even more. But if they themselves just admit that my drinking has become a problem, it is usually better for them to be assisted and recover from that problem.
Thank you very much, DC. Honourable members, Honourable Sir, Honourable Masiko, Honourable Dr. Sanjay,
thank you, Jim. It's a simple question. You know, I take it that any municipality can apply for the NDP grant. But how is that adjudication done, and by whom? You know, as to, you know, who qualifies and who doesn't qualify, and how much do they qualify? How's that adjudication done for the NDP grant?
I'm going to refer to this job fund, and I understood the explanation, but where I did not really, where I think I needed more clarity is where the DSA comes in, because I just want to know how big is that DSA because each and every
DBSA,
because each and every department will tell us about the involvement of DBSA, and in some areas where we have gone really, we ask ourselves whether there should have been DBSA or maybe a future improved Department of Public Works will come in, because I don't, especially that we have this technical assistance from the unit, from the department, National Treasurer, because if jobs are still waiting for an MAU to be signed to DBSA, who should really have picked up that at some instances? It really won't have the capacity, I think, because it should be having thousands and thousands of employers for each and every department to be relying on it to carry out the work. And I would like to know whether there's no other, because when we call them, they're telling us about this, there are lot of involvement with COPTA, which we also really, because when we were with COPTA, COPTA was telling us about Sienza Zamanje, and another new institution agency called MISA. So are we going to give money to an institution that is also going to look for other agencies to be able to implement the work? And the amount that's already given to them for this technical assistance is quite a lot. This 34 million is a lot into this job fund. Are there no better ways where we can say now, here is a program for job fund. Let's forget about these other institutions and see how we can do it, because we are looking for an implementing agency which is also still going to look for other people to come and assist them, which really hasn't been very, very visible in some of the areas where we come from. Is there no other way where some program can be done? I don't undermine DBSA. I query their capacity, because everything is DBSA, and we never go anywhere, and we're sitting with this under expenditure with memorandum of understanding being waited for, because they don't have people to help them. They're still looking at who can help us, and this understanding will have to be explained for. We appreciate that it was doing that immediately when it was announced, but the delay still remains that there's under expenditure, and we need this to see some difference within the communities. And this ISMS, maybe we hope another way of addressing this late submission thing is done. And some penalties must be attached somewhere so that we don't sit with every department explaining to us, telling us that no, they were under expenditure because there was late submission of invoices. What is National Treasury doing to make sure, especially that they have this technical assistance unit, who should be doing something or attaching some penalties? In as far as this issue that is being addressed every day is not being attended to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner Mashuho. Honourable members, I think that there's also the document that was prepared by that analysis that was prepared by the research team. I think it's very useful.
Chairperson, thank you.
I was saying also that treasury was, I mean, the analysis that you got from our
sector. Chairperson, thank you. On page 12, I just want to make a comment on that specific page.
the project in Mamaloti, Tamayaroti, for the past 6 years, part of my constituency, and I want to thank very much also, you know, for existing in that constituency. Chairperson, on page 10, well, I would like to know where they refer to the main reasons for the pending deviation. You talk about the vacancy rate that came down to 9.5%. So I would just like to know, Chairperson, in terms of figures, how many people do we talk, and also the importance of the level of available jobs, you know, in terms of the different categories of personnel. Are there more chiefs or more Indians, you know, from director upwards or director downwards? And then, looking at the other three bullets on that page, the reasons for spending deviation, but the reason that some of these posts are not being called yet, does it have any effect on the other three bullets there? Because surely there must be communication between the other departments as far as procurement and implementation and spending pattern is concerned. Chairperson, then my last question, if you look at page 4, the treasury mandate, bullet 3, equitably and effectively raise fiscal revenue. Now, as far as I can remember, say that I think last week we dealt with the 11 billion unspent budget of department. Now, you know, it's a lot of money that's been appropriated for. It's a lot of money that's been taken away by means of fiscal revenue measurement and then not spent. Now, the reason why I say this here, taxpayer money, for instance, the money that's been raised by tax to comply with the fiscal revenue income, that is money that has been taken out from the economic multiplier. It's been taken out from the production side, from the economy, into the fiscus. That is money that otherwise could have been available to the people who pay those taxes, who could have increased their production, who could have employed people and assisted economic growth. So we must look, you know, beyond the picture of just say so much money has been raised, not spent. Because if you look at bullet 2, it says they must prepare a sound and sustainable national budget. But then it refers to the fact that you take money out of the economy, productive money, and you allocate it to be productive again. What happens with the unspent money, you know, it's not just money that, don't worry, we'll get it next year or whatever the case may be. It is not good for the economy. You take money out from the production level, and then at the end of the day, make it unproductive. And I want to know from Treasury, you know, what are they going to do that we can prevent such a situation like this? And I must say, though, also that some departments that I've spoken to, when we talk about the unexpenditure, they say, don't point finger at us. Even our watchdog, the Treasury doesn't spend all their money. So it's not good for Treasury themselves to be in a category like this, even taking the reasons into account. But we should take note that, you know, it is not sustainable, it is not effective and efficient if you take money out of the production cycle, out of the economy, and then make it unproductive. It should be paid. And I think this is, you know, to listen to all the reasons why it's not spent, we take cognizance of that, but we have, it is unacceptable. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Frank. What Dr. Pandek is referring to is on page 3 of that report, page 2, you know, where the expenditure, I mean, the under expenditure is growing over the, over the years. Okay, thank you very much. Comment, Yen?
Microphone. not working.
So really, it is not a good report. All we need to see is how you must tell us that this is not going to repeat itself, and how are you going to do it? How are you going to lead by example? That's all it says. There is nothing really good about this setting in terms of the treasury. And really, treasury can't come with the same excuses that the government, I mean the other departments, come with. We need to plan treasury. That's all I can say. We need a plan, we need a mechanism, so that we can talk that this thing is going to take place again. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Comrade. I think that this is, what Comrade Yang is important saying is that there is a decline, you know, in terms of how sort of spent over the years has shown in that what you call really sophisticated statistics. We can show you how you've been spending over the years. So, so you're not improving, you're going down, you know. This year I've got 89.6%. I think that's probably what you call the member power is. But, we really need to, what you call it,
I was listening to the comment that was made by the CCC saying this job fund is so good, it's going to create 125 jobs, it's the best in a country. And I was asking myself, you need to take as one example that at this moment is happening. And when I look at what is happening in terms of employees, they are not spending, you know, they had 63.7 million, they could not spend on it. And when I look at goods and services, they are also not spending on it. So it goes on and on. And one of the reasons is that they phase out some of the positions. Now my question is, when they take out some of the positions and they are they sure what they were doing, because at this moment they are understanding. Because it simply means there's a lack of capacity. And in terms of DBSA job fund, DBSA is all over the show. You go into municipalities, there's DBSA. You go outside in NGOs, there's DBSA. Do they have such a good capacity? Because I was put there several times. And I pick up that they are so overwhelmed with work that they end up not really doing. And now they choose to say which one is the most important one. Now it's sort of now a competition among the lucrative one. So for me, and you're talking about job creation, especially it's a job fund. Treasure is fading out for things, but they are the ones saying there should be job creation. They should be having more time. That is going to be hands-on in everything which I, at this moment, the way they're understanding that lack of capacity. So we need to say, are we not combating them too much? And when I'm, maybe in my own understanding, when I look what DFA is doing and what Treasury is doing, for me they're doing the same thing. So why do I give someone to do my job, whereas I'm supposed to be doing my job? It's how I understand it. Treasury is there to make sure that the money is spent correctly. People who don't have capacity, they must make sure that there is capacity in terms of money. But they just take their responsibility and spend it to zero. So why are they there? Because that's now where they come, because now they are relaxed, they are not hands-on. That's why they, most of us now, they are declining, because now they are understanding. Look for this year, 89.6%. 2008, it was 96%. Why did it go so down? They need to re-look at their own things and re-engineer themselves to start doing the right thing. Thank you.
On the other hand,
I also hear what you say in terms of the what you can do for the department. But I don't want to weigh what you say against the in the Constitution. The Constitution, Chapter 216 of the Constitution, Section 216, 2, says national must enforce compliance with measures established in the Constitution and may stop the transfer of funds, blah, blah, blah. In other words, what I'm interested in is this, they enforce. You know, Section 6 of the Public Finance Management Act says not outside of a must. It doesn't say may. It says must. Among others, two, to the extent necessary to perform the functions mentioned in the subsection, not outside of a A must respect the uniform salary norms, okay, I'm not interested in that one. But may assist departments and consumer finance institutions in using their capacity for efficient, effective, and transparent financial management. Intervene and by taking appropriate steps. That is the other one. But all the same, what I'm trying to say here, is our understanding the same, e.g., with yours, that National Federal is supposed to ensure and enforce this compliance? May exercise one, he says, may exercise control of implementation of annual and national budgets, all these kind of things that this Section 6 wants done by National Federal. They promote and enforce transparent and effective management of effective of revenue, spending, and assets, liabilities of departments, public entities. Now, you're saying, now, you prepare this thing to make statements available to Parliament. The understand of Parliament, we think that each one of us has a responsibility. National Federal has a responsibility, a constitutional responsibility like Parliament. Now, how do we, what we call, we think that from our side, maybe not doing enough to ensure that these things are done by these people. For instance, that we haven't spoken about. I mean, there are other departments here. If you look at the report that I've given you, we really, over the years, have not said. But also, maybe what you also need to understand, we may not be what you call it, understand, is the how does budget work? Why do we have a budget? Beginning of the why does the minister table a budget that says this year this is what we're going to do, and we request also with the salaries what we call it guidelines, and now with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, annual performance plan. Why this department saying this is what they are going to use this money for last year, and people don't know what to call it, they do that. Now, that's sort of have a role, for instance, in monitoring those annual performance plans. We do as Parliament, but what is the role of National Parliament? That last comment that I wanted to make, is when you compare the job plan, I agree with you that so far, in terms of our five priorities, creating permanent jobs or student jobs, That is all of the Tattva. But the reason why I was saying that, I don't think that the comparison is fair. Because as government, we also say some of the jobs will not be, may not necessarily be permanent. Has we established the EPWP program for short-term measures. So I feel as the, what you call it, for me, the comparison, it's necessary that we do this with the self-funding. That's the last comment is on the how the people what you call it, qualify to for the job fund. In fact, the issue that the members are raising about capacity, someone comes to me and say, look, my company, I've got a small manufacturing company, employing so many people. I heard about the job fund, how does it work? I give the person the, in fact, I spoke to traded industry, some people in traded industry. They give me some numbers. And the numbers that they give, they are not what you call a BDSA number. Someone else. The person phones the person says, no, man, this is just a private, what they call a consultant. Now the person is afraid that the person may want to take over now the company. I phone this person and ask him, but who are you? What is your role? People tell me. Now, in other words, who is responsible for this? Is this a DPSA or CPSA outsourcing these people? But is it made clear to what you call it to the public out there that the DPSA is actually outsourcing this responsibility? Because those people, the person that I spoke to, for instance, never explained to me that is waiting on behalf doing this, what he was doing, this consulting on behalf of DBSA. And then it got this person afraid that, no, yes, there's a scam here. I might lose out now on my company because it's not because of DBSA that is doing this thing. So I just need clarity
I'll leave lots of questions, especially the difficult ones. Especially the difficult ones to my colleagues, and they extend up to the DBSA. Let me just, I'll come back when they finish. Let me just make a few points of what stuff that I'm going to leave behind for you. Let me answer the one on the MDPG. All municipalities will qualify, without exception, but it's on application basis. In other words, the 274, I think they are now, municipalities, any one of them can apply. The criteria are set out. They are contained also in the Division of Revenue Bill, the framework for the land and the bank, just described. So anyone can apply, explain the project, and stuff like that. Now, the beauty of this grant is that where a municipality struggles, this grant has got two windows. There is a technical assistance part, which is small, where the municipality does not have the capacity itself to prepare an application that is in line with the framework for this grant. It can then apply to get a bit of money so that it can be assisted to develop the project in the way in which the grant requires. And then it gets into the process. The process starts and ends in the treasury. It's done by treasury officials. Even in instances where they are not permanent employees, they are contracted in. They are, for the period that they work on this, they are on the payroll of the treasury. So they are actually employees of the president. So the application, the evaluation is done by the president. Then once the president qualifies and so on, then it goes through the processes and then the funding gets allocated and so on. I mean, I'll leave almost all of the questions that relate to DBSA and the job fund, Mr. Kajwa. And maybe you will give the examples of at least one of the projects that are qualified, you know, and what they do and so on. Suffice to just make the following point. You see, and it's connected to the trend in expenditure that I've shown you, which I think actually misleading. And I'll tell you why. You know, the work in place, the trend of the declining over 5 years. But for the first three, it increased, and then it declined, of course, for the last two. And I can read the percentage. I take no joy in criticizing other people's things, but it's 96 in the first year, 99.6
for 2 years,
and then it drops in the 3 years. But the, so it's not 5 years. But it has declined nevertheless in those latter 3 years, right? Or let me say latter 2 years, by the way. But you see, declining over 5 years is not what is shown by the graph. But that's fine.
What the numbers are saying is that over 5 years, it shows that there has been a decline. It may not have been for all those 5 years.
Okay.
Sometimes there was that, but from that time when it has shown a decline, it started going down. We can't say so it has kept improving. It has started going down there in 2009, 2010. 99.5, from there it went down 94 point something, 89 point something. So I think that is not what you call it, what is the threat. I'm not sure what you're trying to defend the CC, because, I mean, it's not improving. That is the point that you think what you call a threat there. The point that's why, much to my understanding, that's why the graph is there for everyone to see when it was it had improved and when it went down. The point that is being said that when it started going down, it's not showing improvement. Mm-hmm. I think that is the point that is being raised there.
Okay. Let me avoid the part. Let me just leave the part. I can see that we stand no chance of agreeing. When something declines over 5 years, it starts at a high point and it drops. that's fine. Let me just make the following point. I actually think that I want to say this as carefully as possible.
No, sir.
You see, it's...
Thank you. You know, I don't think we really appreciate what the DJ is doing. We might be making mistakes in terms of coming up with the figures and the percentages. But what we are pushing, the content of what we are saying, treasury should not be underextending. Treasury should lead by example. Treasury should not be choosing the mistakes that the members are doing, are saying, but they must look at the content. The content is, they should be leading by example. If they are not leading by example, how then are we able to talk to other departments? That's the content. And I think that you should focus on the content. Whether it's 5% or 2%, treasury is understanding, and they should be leading by example. That's the content.
Should I respond? Should I respond? Let me look. Simple thing. I'm not going to apologize for this. If we're going to engage in a conversation with Adam, it's going to be very important that the basis of our conversation is the same. Right? It cannot be that the basis that we talk different things and we want to change stuff that affect people. And I'll leave the contention because I made the point. But I want to then show again it's very important for all of us. And this does not justify understanding. Understanding is bad. It is bad even by the treasury. I admit that. We would be fair, zero under-expenditure. We would. But at the same time, if we ignore in the context, we can then push each other in the wrong direction. Now let me illustrate where I'm going with this. The numbers we're talking about, why it's the aggregate, it's all the budget of the treasury. But once you disaggregate them, you see a different picture. For an example, the 94.1 expenditure, which reflects therefore an under expenditure of 5.9. Last year in 2010, the year before, 2010-2011. The under-expenditure there, the biggest part of it was the 1.1 billion under-expenditure on the infrastructure grant to provinces, which Treasury administered, right? Now that relates to the projects are in the provinces, right? The projects are in the provinces to administer the grant. Now, by the way, there is a way of looking good with this. I mean, we could send the money to the province, all of it. It's possible. Once we have rolled it out to provinces, it's called an expense on our vote, it's 100%. The money goes and sits in an account of a provincial treasury, and thereafter we may lose track of it. So what we choose to do, in line with the framework that we publish, which gets approved by Parliament, which actually gets to one of the points that you were referring to, Mr. Ogbonu, where it says we can stop money at the treasury. We're permitted to do that, even in the other department. So in this case, we look at the expenditure every month, not just quarter, because the grant that we administer. And we follow the due process that's set out in the Bureau of Revenue Act to say to the province, look, you aren't spending on your education or whatever the money they have chosen to use it for. We will be bound to stop it at the end of the year if you are not spending it. Because we are not allowed to just transfer it to sit in your account. But of course we don't stop there. I indicated earlier that we don't take joy in stopping money because we know the objective is to spend it, is to build schools, it will build roads so that people have got access to better services. But not only that, in the building of the schools, jobs get created. People have got income. But of course, the...
Yes, sir. I also want to just go and go on a little more transfer.
Yes.
Now, I just want to answer to what that can make such a thing. You know, the when we question in fact the department DGs in this committee, we are no longer impressed by transfers, just transfers for the sake of transfers. Because we have discovered that these transfers by departments to entities or to wherever they are supposed to go, the departments are not followed. They do that at the last, at the end. Of the headquarters. They are dumping it and then they come there. So they are no longer appear good to us. So nobody will be able to treat her on transfer. So what I want to say, you are saying that you have transferred the money and you found that the provinces are not using. Then what is the problem? Because before you would be transferring that money to the provinces, you have the responsibility to see that those provinces have capacity. They are in a position to use that money. I agree with you. But then it means that if you send the money to the provinces and the money is not spent, then there's something wrong. And that something wrong, we are, as parliament, expecting you to uncover and come with the sources. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm converting to convention and have already in terms of transfer to admin. But in terms of their core function, in terms of compensating their employees is lacking. They are also lacking in spending on good services. They are also in payment of capital assets. They are also lacking. Let's see now the transfer and look in house. Is the house clean? No, it's not. So if they are going to, it's like they're shifting the blame. You can't shift the blame. You need to deal with issues. And for me, it's lack of planning. Because if provinces or inside we are not performing, it simply means I did not plan. I can't say, for an example, they're saying if provincial treasury is not spending, what should they do? It's like a father saying, my child is misbehaving. So what? It's your child. You make sure that child behaves. So now when you don't even have a plan, that is there to make sure that immediately when the child takes the wrong step, you can stop the child. Yeah, you can transfer the money into all the provincial departments, but someone is to look after it. And there's monitoring. The system does not talk to each other. Simply the provincial and the national system, they don't talk to each other. That's why there's this thing. You need to have a system that will make you say the first mistake, you're able to pick it up and say, there's a challenge, let's be collective. And in your core function, 63.7 million, it's unspent, you were given that. But when you look at it in terms of employee, nothing. 165 million, the same. 11.6 million, the same. That is your core function. In your own house, you're also not using your own money in your own house. That means your house is not up to standard. It's falling apart. Thank you.
But my understanding, I thought that you were saying the reason why they had an underspending there is because the provinces that they were transferring to were not spending. And now they withheld this money so that the money is not left sitting there in the province without being spent. And it was on that basis for, but if you will correct me for what you think. But just before you come in, Comrade Snell, Comrade Haraklon.
Thank you. You know, the manner in which our legal framework is structured, I know can cause frustration to the department, especially with its concurrent function. The Constitution also makes allowance for assistance to provincial and local governments by higher structures. Okay. But I don't know how clear it is in the actual doing part of that. So this intervention bill that's coming out now for Section 100 and Section 139, does there not need to be a section in that bill that give effect to the constitutional mandate on when a department gives assistance to a provincial department or a municipality? Because with concurrent functions and also with the cooperative governance, it can become very tricky to start giving instructions. In fact, it's almost impossible without another piece of either changing the constitution or having another piece of subordinate legislation that gives effect to those interventions. So I would like the DC just to reflect on that, please. Thank you, Chairperson.
But just before you come in, you know what I thought that we were doing? I thought that would allow him to ask questions. But the reason why I allowed it, those what you call interventions, because interventions were referring to a specific thing that was being responded to. Now, I think that with your help, member, please, let's not ask now new questions which are applied, but if it is related to what is being said, I think it is fine, but let's just direct it so that we don't deviate too much from the what you call it.
Thank you, Jay. You see, I can understand that the demand, which says the positive is treasury, but I want to focus more especially on this treasury. There is problems there with the money is not spent, all the money. But you see, the problem we experience is common. Appropriations is in the next month or two. What then? Are there any adjustments in the next month or two? So I think there will be no adjustments for treasury this year. Am I right? When we come to the next adjustment budget. But the problem is there. The problem is this thing that at the end of the year, financial year, money are pumped into, dumped into the department. And that is the crisis he said. That is the crisis that the work mentioned earlier and what Dr. van Dijk mentioned earlier. And then we have to look. I think that is when we have to see if they haven't got a plan, then what are we going to do? That is, we must come with a plan to do this urgently.
I am noting your commitment here. Please, another member, help me in submitting a request with that. We have raised questions that are responding to. And I think that what I was saying, that the intervention that can only come now, if it is dealing with something that we think that is specific to this point, not something around what you call, we'll come back. There will be a round, second round, third round, if you want us to make comments, whatever, or some more questions. Comment, Mr.
Thank you, sir. I was just going to say, you allowed for Honorable Yengeni to do a follow-up question, and I think that's why he could now focus on, and we understood the others about goods and services and that kind of, but let's not forget the follow-up question that was raised. I can't rephrase it, but it was raised by Honorable Yengeni based on concern.
Yeah,
no,
you must respond to that question.
No, the chair helped me answer that part. Because I wasn't saying that the money was transferred. I was saying that the 1.1 billion significant part, excuse me, of the understanding in 2011 was the conditional country provinces. And of course, I mean, we don't stand back and say the provinces are not spending, we'll stop the money and go and enjoy ourselves. No, no, no. As I indicated, we've got this infrastructure delivery improvement program where we make available to provinces S&M with technical expertise to assist them. But of course, I will underline this. Assistance only works where the people who are supposed to receive it take it. Which gets to the point that Honorable Smith was making. There is no basis in law for anyone to just walk into a department with an MSc and a head of department and say, I'm here to help you, I see that you can't do things. There's no basis in law for that kind of stuff. You've got to have finesse to say to people, it looks like you've got difficulty here from the numbers that you see. And we've got this program. Do you think it would be of assistance to you? Right? And then most people, some people accept it, others don't.
Sorry, you are not assisting us. That's why we intervene on the thing. You know, I know, we all know that Treasury has people in every department. He always tells people, whenever, even meet with prophets, you will see that there's somebody who says, I'm assigned to that province, I'm assigned to this department. So, really, I don't know, you to certain ones have to intervene, because when you know that you are going to intervene, we ask you to intervene. You know? Because all these things, you see, I think that, what is the... Nobody said that was concerned, but what did he, when he was speaking, he said he can, that they can put themselves in a good spot, something of that nature, I'm not quoting him verbatim, and contact transfer. That's when I gave him. Nobody said he has transferred, But there are monies that they have sent, and the monies are not used. And that's why we came in with mechanism. What is the treasury doing? Because we don't believe that treasury should be sending money and not knowing that the money is going to be used. You know, and they are saying that, and one thing is that there are no capacities that have come in. So I think that really helps us. But by now you know all of us.
No,
really.
My understanding is that the point that is raising, I think that he is raising how they, what you call it, they operate. Whether we agree with that or not, for me, is something that it's something that we should allow him to, what you call it, to answer questions. At the end, we say, look, we as a committee, we don't agree with that because we have a PSMA, we have a constitution. We think that this is the role that treasury is, what you call it. Is designed to do. If treasury is not doing it, why is it not doing it? Because we differ with him here. So it's a point of our own interpretation as a committee. This is their interpretation. So that's why I was allowing that let the questions be answered. But at the end of the round, we come and say, look, we're not agreeing on this matter. That is the point, maybe, where you think that I have not helped him. I didn't want to, as you call it, to interrupt. I wanted to, them to answer. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's leave that here. But with the understanding that the biggest portion was 1.1 billion, which we stopped. We didn't transfer because we felt that the money was not being used from the report that we had. Now, the last year is the year that we were talking about.
Yes. You must also help me.
Yes, I'll skip this now.
You must also help me because, you see, now, I think that you also not making things easy for us because you're responding to a question about 2010-2009. We're not giving that. All that this, what you call this graph is saying, there was an under expenditure of this much at that time. So that's all it is saying. We don't want to be drawn as to why was that. Because you remember we had a meeting at Woodhall Chamber to deal with those things. So please, let's not go to that now. It's clear. Yes, please. Sure.
And of course, let me leave all of them, actually. And see what else I should take myself. What we tend to do in our relationship with the BBSA, and this is the only part that I will talk to, is that when we want to run a program that we think is not permanent, that's short term, and we think that it relates to the broad mandate of development, which is what the BSA was created for, we sort of rope them in. The reason we rope them in is not because they have excess capacity per se, but it's because they have got the capacity to source in, on a temporary basis, the expertise that we may be needing, and they can run things for us, and then when they phase out, they phase out. Or if government wants to take over the thing, as it happened with the Lamanzi, then government can take it up when it has matured. So we are mindful, by the way, when we do that it takes time for them to build this stuff. That's why in my explanation of why we have understand the drug fund. I didn't say that the DPSA didn't have capacity and stuff like that. They were not sitting waiting for us, you know, having people who are idle and waiting for us to pass work to them. So when we asked them to assist with this, they had to employ people and build all the capacity and systems to do this thing, which is what took a bit of time. Now, which is what the other slide was telling you about the achievement for this this past year. They have set that up for running the jobs fund. At least now we will just do rounds and rounds of calling for applications. But the rest of the questions that relate to that Mr. will answer. Even the outsourcing staff, I think that it's mischievous people who suggest that there's outsourcing. There's a committee that's been established there called an investment committee, which has got people from different places. Decisions are taken within there in that committee. Now, the fact that when I go somewhere, if I'm on the committee, I go around claiming that I'm this important guy and stuff like that is neither here nor there, but the decisions are taken by a committee duly constituted with representatives that government has approved, with these frameworks and rules that are approved by government. But the issue about where does our role start and where does it end? I suppose, as the margin, we might see differently, but I don't think that we are really differing on this. We on the issue that relates, for instance, to financial management, we know that we have got a responsibility not only to develop these frameworks and guidelines, practice notes that we do, but we also have to go out there, get our hands dirty, interact with the people to help them understand the rules and the extent that they have to be supported in complying with them. We do that. It may be a matter of scale. But on the issues that relate to running department, which is not quite about financial management, running department, implementing projects, hiring people in a department and so on, those responsibilities by law fall within specific departments, and where departments don't have the capacity to do this stuff, through the technical assistance unit that I was referring to, we are able to source in the capacity on application. Not that we just look and think that department needs help and go in because it doesn't work and we can't work to just go into a department. When it comes to provinces and local government, there are those interventions that are provided for in Section 100 and...
Can you tell us, how do they know? How do you know that they need? When you send this technical, can you tell the committee at what stage? Where do you see the indicators that you need this technical team to be sent in?
No.
And that's maybe this is what you really need to help us to understand this. Because I think the reason why there is a misunderstanding in this from our side is that if you have a team that, for instance, is responsible for social work called a cluster, or whatever cluster. Now you say no, you can't just intervene willy-nilly.
Mm.
Now we are saying, our understanding that there's a constitution that says Cesar has got these responsibilities.
Mm.
We have an act of parliament. That says that when you are declared or when punished, give money to department. Federal has a responsibility to do certain things, monitoring. It's talking about promoting, coordinating those things. Are you saying no? Departments, after all, may say to you, sorry, we are busy, come next time, unless you find a proper way. I'm saying for us, I think that is part that we really want to understand the role of Treasury. I think you said it proper and nicely when you say you're referring to the question of where does the role of Treasury start, where does it end, trying to clarify that fact.
Let me take some time to explain. I think, let's keep this part really interactive. And I want, I also invite members to say, why don't you do this? Because it would seem to me that members have ideas about what we should be doing. If they think we are not doing, but I'm not quite striking the chord with that. I have said, without qualification, on financial matters, guided by the Constitution and the PFM, we don't only just say there is a law compliance. We are there. Right? The Office of the Accountant General has got a unit that goes and works with departments to make sure first that they have got a system in place. They may have presented the Constitution, not, you can invite them, their capability maturity models. We say, look, what is the worst case in which you can find a department? What are the stages that you can take it to? What can it comply with at different stages? And then they have people who go and assist the department on financial management. That is complying with what is prescribed in the PFMA, what is prescribed in the regulations that go to the PFMA, and also what is prescribed in practice notes. We explain that and we go and do it with the department. We don't wait for invitation. Just as something new comes up, it's a claim to them. And then when we see from the Auditor General's report that that department is struggling with this fee, we go and offer ourselves to assist. But that is financial management, which is our business. Right? Now, and this is where I may have missed the context. If we were talking, for instance, about audit of departments and saying they are bad, what I'm doing about it, I would have brought the Accountant General with me to explain them things that we do through his office to assist in financial management. First, in national department, government department. Second, in provinces. And then in local government. We do all that stuff. In fact, we even assist and work with the local government in looking at their budget. When they come in, the people that you, the chairperson might be referring to, say, look, I work with that group of municipalities, they look and they analyze the budget. They say, what you're saying that your rates are going to increase by 100%. People are going to revolt. You won't get those rates. And therefore, you cannot budget on the basis that your rates are going to increase by 100%. Adjust that number. That's part of budgeting. That's part of financial management. We work with them on that. I had thought, wrongly, I can see now, that you are talking about departments that can't spend the money, which means that they can't, if it's water affairs, they're struggling with building dams. If it's public works, they're struggling with building whatever other stuff. That expertise we don't have. You can't come here and pretend as if I can go around helping people to build schools. Second, it is not my job. Full stop. You can look at every law and everything. It's not my job to go and build a school.
Jefferson.
Because I can't.
Jefferson.
Right?
And can the DG please respond on questions? He is now responding in defensive. When he says, no, we don't say it's his job, we're saying some of the things are lacking and we need to understand each other because we are here to learn from each other. So he needs to make it clear to us. To say maybe these are the challenges, or I understand, let me relook at it. And maybe, because I can see now that you are going to and fro, give other members, maybe they will understand our questions. Because when he responds, I can pick it up that he's emotional. And we are saying, as much as it's not your responsibility, but because the money lies, you are the one dealing with finances. You are the one who needs to know what's happening. You have an expertise in terms of finances, and that's what we are questioning. But let maybe the DG for now cool up a little bit and give other members, other that they might respond, and then maybe we will understand each other. Thank you.
No, I
agree.
I
see that I'm a problem. Let this guy answer the question.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's not what was said. It is not what was said. I think what you said, this is that you said yourself that you have a team to assist you. Yes. So I think that it is in that context. I think really you're putting some wrong words. You know, that was a problem. That was never the word.
When the teacher said he understood that wrongly, I think I take that because what we are asking for is exactly what he is explaining. But when we do not believe that treasury, when these departments are going to be allocated money, they just tell treasury that one big jam wants to grow, and then treasury just for money. They do that. But treasury will have a responsibility to see that they do have capacity to do that. The capacity in terms of spending that money to do that thing, they have everything in place and the money will be used accordingly and they have asked it for. I think that's our understanding.
I think that what also Comrade Mufulo said is the question of planning. Now, I'm busy looking from this perspective.
I agree with Comrade Mufulo that UGG is only, you know, you've dealt with other people. I'm sure UGG came with, you know, he's defending everything, and you can see that he doesn't want to raise with you, he doesn't understand what you are asking. He assumes that he's this, and then he does something and defends. And really, it's emotional, and unfortunately, we have to ask the questions. We will ask the questions, and we will want answers to the questions until we understand each other.
I see who, I guess, Mr. Satchwa.
Yes, my name is Mr. Satchwa. I am the Chief Investment Officer of the Job Fund, the person that requires the program. From CBSA point of view. There are about five questions here which were asked around the Job Fund and CBSA. The DG started answering the text, the question that was asked by Mema Masiko on CBSA size and capacity and the engagement on how the Treasury engages CBSA. One of the things that is mentioned is that the CBSA is a business that is has got a project management specialist capacity, and it's actually able to mobilize the speed in terms of the capacity that's needed for whichever program that the government needs in terms of us make sure that we have government implementing that project. And then one of the biggest things that's sitting within the DSA is that it's got a unit called Development Fund, which is a program implementation unit that specializes in that, and within that unit, there is also something that is actually being used within it, which is called agencies, which are being established within the bank, where you can ring-fence specific programs and make sure that those programs they get to be delivered to a particular department or to a particular unit that actually requires us to actually set up a particular program. It's actually working quite well because you can ring-fence it and actually transfer it and move it up and down. When it's matured, you can move it back to where it's supposed to be moved, or when the government feels it needs to continue that way. One of the other things, well, that's important there is what was mentioned was the visibility it was actually lumped with the CBSA question. Maybe I'll deal with that question when I get to the job fund, because it was about the job fund. That was the question. I'll deal with that side. That was on the set question. On the second question where Mr. Mamayangi spoke about the 2012-2013 numbers which are shown right, I think it's on the screen there. The CG explained it quite clearly that in 2012, the year ended March 2012, that year is a year of implementation of the bank, of setting up the bank and starting it and putting it into operation. Now 2012 and 2013 going forward, is a year where we have to do implementation. It's a grant implementation period. But if you go to the 2011-2012 year, you'll find an anomaly in it, in that when the fund was launched on the 7th of June, the applications were opened also on the 7th of June. There were no people working in the Japan at the time. So quick application forms that we had to be put together. Then obviously the DSA, because it is so good in mobilizing, the discussions that were held prior to that date with Treasury yielded the production of the application forms, which were then made available to the public. It also yielded the creation of websites, which was then available to the public to actually get all the documentation that they needed to get to understand what the job fund was all about. The only thing that was not done at the time is that projects were not originated beforehand. So applicants had to then go to the website and get the form, and then they downloaded the form and actually applied through that. Yes.
Thanks, John. With all due respect, we're discussing the expenditure by National Treasury, which we say is not satisfactory, and there's a downward, you know, downward trend, and it's not good. But, you know, the thing that I will expect of Treasury, and I think that the committee expects, is that if, for instance, a municipality or a provincial department doesn't spend their money properly, you know, they just can't transfer money willy-nilly. And if they don't transfer that money, it's going to mean that money was provided on the budget, and there's going to be an under expenditure. We don't expect them to transfer the money when there's going to be, you know, bad spending by the spending entity. So, you know, that I understand. So in that instance, I accept that there will be under expenditure by National Treasury. But when it comes to provision on the budget and planning, I would like to give you the example that's on the board there. The first bullet point says, no one spending in year one, that is with the dog fund where the gentleman is dealing with, will be in the first year. But our planning is such that we put 2 billion rand into the first year. You know, how? That's why there is huge underspending on that particular fund in the first year. That is, to me, is bad planning. And that has got nothing to do with withholding money. So I think the situation is that we must be careful, the National Treasury, more so than any other department, must be careful that we don't, and this is what my colleague, Dr. Van Dijk, that we don't put money into a budget which could have been used elsewhere in the productive, you know, unit of this country. So there I say we have no excuse. So, you know, whatever happened to the job fund, we provided money in that job fund which shouldn't have been provided in the first year. And secondly, you know, I would just like to say to Treasury, I understand if you're going to have under expenditure because you are withholding money, for instance, on the funds for the municipalities where they are not performing or where they're not doing what they should be doing in all provinces.
So, I think that's a comment.
I think exactly that's what I said before. I'll make another example. When they send money to municipalities, the first thing that they need to do is to check. Let's say they're funding NDPG, Neighborhood Development Fund. If they are going to fund that, there must be a plan that is there that says, for that funding, the first time when you're not spending it, there must be an indicator. The reason I'm saying that I am from there, I've seen it. There's nothing that indicates from their side to say if the municipality is underspending, they're going to see their part within 3 months or 6 months to say they are underspending. There's not a clear plan about it. Hence, I'm saying, in terms of planning, that's where the challenge lies. So they must plan in such a way that even the lowest person who doesn't take the trigger, if you kick the trigger, and then they'll be able to pick it up. That's what we're talking about. Thank you.
Planning. I think that if you remember, CCO, when the same government raised this issue of planning, it was when I started looking for this appropriation. I thought that this one had this skill, but I know the division of revenue. Division of revenue, I like it. Very clear. It says the departments must start I think it was early as June by August. They must be clear about that. I'm sure it also guides in terms of when by October or end of the year department or entity must have been clear. And Mr. Sagwayo, I'm not sure if he's also listening to himself. He's saying when it was started on that day that it was launched, the job fund, the applications were open, but there was no one. There was nothing in the office. I'm not sure what the advisor is saying. So, how we launch on that? Because it says a lot of things, you know. By that was presented on or submitted on the 17th of April, if I'm correct. The launch was on the say on the 7th of June. In other words, what you say to us that there was no communication between the period between what is that what you convey? I mean, in a way, that's what you convey. If you say no, it was that launch, just like anything from the group, did you? Because there's nothing that you say. So. And the way he was saying it, but continue.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't quite confident. He didn't quite mean like that. Yeah. He said there is some discussion. But the building of all the factors, in other words, the DPSA having all of the people that they don't need to evaluate the project and stuff like that happens only after the 7th. But there had been some projects, and I heard him say that. Mm-hmm. Saying that thanks to the interaction, either thanks to the interaction between us and them and their speed, they were able to send out the form. They developed the form before the 7th. By the 7th, the form was sent out. There was a website opened on the day. But he was being honest to say that not everything was in place. And we admit that. We admit that. Not everything was in place. I even had said myself, we were too optimistic about how much money we can disperse in year one. I said it in the presentation. I said 2 billion was a bit too much. Right? Whilst we were able to approve projects worth 1.8 billion, right? Which is just 200 short of the amount that was allocated. But the money could not flow in that year because had we done that, it would have amounted to fiscal dumping. So in a way, we are admitting the failure. We are admitting the failure. And in fact, I admitted it without anyone having to beat me up. Because the understanding turns out, it is there. But we are hoping that as we go along in the next few years, we're going to be able to align the amount that is appropriated each year with the approved project and the drawdown against the money. That's what we really hope for. I mean, bearing in mind, this was a new idea, which only started last year. We can only do better because this 8.2 billion now committed. The big part is going to be about tech now. You know, are people complying and understanding could only arise in instances where people said they were going to do something but they're not doing it. So when they don't comply, then we'll
back now, Mamza, you have your head up?
No.
Okay. You know, teacher, because you know what you're talking about, that's what you hear. But those of us who don't know what happened, we listen to the sequence of what you say. But if we start with that, then we think that, oh, this thing started from there. Because it didn't start from A. And that how we were because we were listening to him. It is another thing. So, but I hope that it's what he is saying because it's not exactly how the sequence that you gave. That's why I said that. So this thing flew to what you call to DBSA. And I raised the question that how could this thing just flow into DBSA without having been? I would not have come with this date of the presentation of the project and the date of the launch as to what was happening. Because that's how it was put, that's how we had it, I think. But I don't know if other members, I could have had it wrong, maybe other members had it correctly the way you had it. But continue, sir.
Okay. Thanks. I apologize for having put it the way that I did, but the truth is exactly as TC is putting it, because there was engagement in between, hence when launch was happening, which we could be able to talk to applicants and get applicants to continue. The 1.8 billion that is sitting and shown there as not being fully spent is in relation to disbursements. Now, I saw also TC mentioned in one of the pages, I'm not sure what page it is, he said that the MTF will be renewed in July again. So that is a plan that is, I believe that Treasury is putting together to make sure that going forward, the amounts that are being allocated, they try and mirror the extra spending that will be happening going forward. And I'm confident that will work. And in terms of the 34.7 million rand that is underspent in terms of the operational cost, the agreement that we've entered in as DBSA with the National Treasury is that the operational costs would have to be paid back or refunded to the DBSA on an area basis. So as soon as the DBSA has spent the money, then the claims get produced and then we submit to Treasury and then they get refunded, which we have done, which happened to overlap into the new year, which is 2012-2013. Now that was one question two. On question three, there was a question that was asked about examples of the projects that are out there which we are actually processing some jobs and who are getting some funding. I'll just give you a couple. And we've got one called Lima Rural Development Fund, which is a project which we've already disbursed their first amount. And then we've got another one called Enablis Entrepreneurial Network FA, which is developing companies. Small, medium companies that will actually play for young professionals. And then we've got another one called South African National Biodiversity Institute, which one is it develops scarce resource, which is very hard to find within South Africa, which is one that we've put in. Two more, just as an example, is Cape Craft Design Institute, and then another one which is called Ubuntu, Intensive Job Placement Program, where we train some youth in the hospitality industry and in some different in a whole lot of other specific industries where they can be put into program. Now when I come to the actual ones, I'll quote an example of Harambe. There's a project called Harambe which bridges the people that have never been employed, young people that have never been employed who have to enter the work environment. It actually creates a bridging space and it actually guarantees the jobs that the people have to find. Actually, that program is running, it's operational, we've given it some funding already, and it delivers some jobs that are actually related to what they were supposed to do. The one other issue which then impacts on the money flowing out and the slowness of the money flowing out is the fact that when a project says to us they want 40 million rand to do something, we don't just give them 40 million rand. We say, we want to know how many people can you actually employ within the first quarter and the second quarter and so on. And then we then set up milestones of saying, what is it that you need to reach in the second quarter for us to give you the second quarter money? What is it that you need to have reached in the first quarter, the milestone that you've reached in the first quarter, so that we can trigger the payment of the second quarter. And then we also set up the milestones for the second quarter and so on. So that then says, you can't then say the whole 40 million rand will be spent in the first year. It will be spent in a period of time, though it's fully committed, as much as the 1.8 million rand is fully committed, but it's milestone-based and spread all over the period. Hopefully then, with a plan of the review of the MTF, as suggested, I know that it's actually happening on alongside this, it is going to help in making sure that this happens. Question 5, I'll go to question 4 because it talks about the CBSA. Question 5 talks about the qualification of the members, which is what you raised earlier. You're saying that we cherry-pick, not cherry-pick is number 4, the qualification of applications. There is no one else who's running the job fund other than the development fund. We are very much aware that there are people who have set up websites to say they're going to help applicants in applying and being successful to get the grant from the job fund. And when people come to us, when some people eventually come to us and talk to us to say, we have been helped by these particular people and they want to charge us a fee for this and this and that, we then advise them correctly to do the right thing. Now then, this brings about the original question that was asked by Member Mashiko earlier on the visibility of the job fund. We in the job fund, we do project origination. We help provinces, all nine of them, to try and raise projects that are sitting there. Some people might have the projects, but they don't know really how to pitch them properly. So we've got some people that we put together to help them actually structure and put the project together. So we've got some sessions that we run. We've gone out to radio stations, all of them. We've got quite a lot of national ones and local ones, and indigenous languages, all kinds of languages that you can think of to try and advertise what the Japan is all about. And we've been to TV and so on and so on. And we can only do as much as we can because we also have to be cognizant of the cost that it comes with. I mean, when you look at the time, when you wanted to just place a half a page ad with a charge of a couple of hundred thousand, and we really thought twice about it. We said maybe we should just call the papers, call the radios, and the radio stations will agree. And then we'll just talk to them and they will not be paid much. So we got all the fact that the job fund has got public money and private sector money. The last question, Chair, is on DBSA taking lucrative programs. May Mamufulu, they spoke about that and saying we choose the programs that we need to take. Ironically, we are right now doing a business review as the bank to look at to try and make sure that are we still aligning to the mandate of what the bank is all about. So that is the one thing. And Treasury has then made available to us from the technical assistance unit, if a technical assistance unit is it, I call it DAO. So from a technical assistance unit, somebody who will be driving that process to make sure that whatever that happens within the DBSA, it happens in alignment to the mandate which the bank has informed. And obviously the mandate is informed in 1983, but then the time has moved, and then obviously with the new government, things might be slightly different from the previous one, so we make sure that we need to make sure that we do things in the right space.
My colleague from DA are having both of them are sitting in the wheelchair, but Colonel Pandeka, he had raised the question around the vacancies, am I right?
Yeah, but also the spending. I mean, look, not that underspending is justified, but when you're running a deficit, right, the withdrawal in the form of a tax, when understanding is less than the deficit, is not as big a problem as the way you conceptualize. In other words, you have not, government hasn't taken money. It's borrowed money, but you borrow less when you understand. Am I making that? But of course, I'll qualify it by saying it is understanding is still bad because it means your plans have not been realized. But in terms of the dynamics of the international economy, because the cash has not been taken from people, it was money that we're going to borrow, so we end up borrowing less.
10%, it is not only that true. It is cut both ways. If you plan to budget for something, it means there is a need for service to be rendered or a need for something to be produced to be in production. If you didn't do that, you cut out that production. By taking money from the economy, if you take money from the economy from another productive way, it is taxpayer money that comes from companies, from individuals that could have used that money in another productive way. So if you didn't take the money by means of taxes, it's just a good exercise. It also means that you just plan for something where there was a need. So you then neglect certain needs and services that was not doing it as well. It comes both ways. You have the principle states. If you don't budget the world production, if you do budget for something you don't do it, you neglect certain issues.
Okay, I could be saying the same thing, but differently. Because I suspect. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Pandit.
There were questions on personnel, which Mr. Mugomebu would deal with. ready to answer. And if there is any other question that the CFO might require, the point he would have said to that. I'm still here.
Just before you I just want to ask, do you think that the DPSA has all the capacity to discharge the responsibilities, taking into account the infrastructure development program in the Eastern Lake?
Yes, I believe so, because as I said, we ring-fence programs, and then we mobilize specific capacity for each program. So there is capacity. I mean, in the job fund as it is, we've got people that are specifically looking at the job fund. They don't cross look at other ones. And then the ones in Eastern Cape are also looking at Eastern Cape. The ones that are building schools, are with the school program, I'm looking at the school program and so on.
Okay, if you're saying the money that is being spent, are you thinking of something that is going to happen or something that has been left? Because the problem that I'm relating to are problems that are currently in terms of dealing with the schools. We went there as a committee. I don't want to go back to the story. You know that there was a target of building 49 schools, but then those schools are not yet finished. And when we went there, we were told a number of stories of contractors and many other things. My question, maybe that question must be specific. And from where charge, we could see that there is no capacity. Because if they are there are so many mice that are fine, that was a promise that was made, that is the second time this will be done. But then when you get there, there are all sorts of explanations as to why this is the diagnostic of crime.
Yes, the ring fencing of programs is happening. With every program has got its own capacity that we put in terms of resources and people and the money that is going straight to those programs and they use in the programs. With respect to the school question, instead of saying that we're supposed to build 49 schools, so 50, 49 now, everybody would know the nature of construction in terms of saying that when you do construction, you need to do the contracting that you have to do, and there's a lot of penalties and so on and so on. So where there are delays in the schools, we have taken back 6 schools from one of the construction companies, and then we've gone out again to make sure that we reallocate them into the right place, because we have put into place some efforts in terms of working focus on the development of the schools to say, if the school at this point is not done, it means that it will not be done by the time we look for it to be done. So for some of those, the particular 6 ones I'm talking about, we pulled them back and we virtually relocated them to the other construction companies that were also in the database to make sure that they can be delivered on time. Now, when you also look at the other technicality that we have with those particular schools, is that there is some serious terrain challenges in terms of how you get to those areas in the Eastern Cape. It's quite difficult to get in some of them. So the materials, and move materials down to where it's supposed to get to, because most of it is in wetlands, and it's quite not as easy as one would do when you develop a school in Cape Town here or in Gauteng. It's part of those decisions. But I know that you said it's stories and so on, but it's reality that is actually come up on those parts.
I think I accept it's just part of one that is training and the intervention that you have done. The latter, I don't, because that should be part of the planning from the beginning. That you, when you plan for those terrain, your planning can never be the same, the planning that is here in every area. So I'm saying, I'm not making an issue out of it. It's the fact that you're intervening. The one question that I must ask now on those schools, The other thing that came up was that what delayed the kicking up of the building up of the school was that they miscalculated. I know of that there was miscalculation in terms of the whole funding amount that was needed, and that was among other reasons for them not to start construction of the ground. The cost that you have calculated, to what extent, and have you paid for them?
You were saying that they've given one of the company agents is an agent, or an agent. And all those agents that you're talking about that they've given money to, I know about them, yeah, thank you. But my question is, do they fit them to provinces? Because you see them somewhere there. Reality here on the ground, you don't see them. So if those are the people that have created 1,100 jobs, what is that? The people, because you're making it, remember I said that was a practical issue. Is that what you are talking about? And if those are the people or companies or agencies, whatever we call them, are the one that are giving money to make sure the job creation. Oh, I'm questioning a lot of things. I won't question them now. Thank you.
No, I think understanding my answer was that in respect of the question that was being raised about the Eastern Cape project, I think he was trying to explain that. And when I say that, you know, now we're kind of debated and not the same first.
I was asking in terms of his presentation. What you are saying in his presentation, those are some of the things that I just have to say. Remember, I said the one practical where they created those, and you are calling those companies, so that's what I was saying. That is the case in each province, what is happening, or is the country came down, if they missed it, or is it all over? Thank you.
You can run out of order, but I'm getting tempted to go on the route of...
I'm very worried about the route.
Treasury is there, what about our development bank is there? You see, in our schools as well, they started late. That's a fact. Nothing to do with terrain, nothing to do with anything. There's a portion of land to... develop the same portion of land to education, but they start late and they're underfunded. But, you know,
you
cannot spend that much. No, that's good thing. But then also, you know, it's a 9 billion rand project. First design on the site. The only thing different is the civil work. The quantity surveyor gets paid 4% on 9 billion. The architect, 6.5%. We normally work on a professional fee, if I'm correct, of 18% for a project. So you're looking at almost 1.8 billion paying to professional fees where we need to be able to look at something with built environment, for how government can negotiate with consultants on issues like this. I mean, no, God, that's just absolutely juicing government confidence. You know? And if it's going into development banks outside of the confines, I would imagine, of the Built Environment Act. But why could we not negotiate those fees down? If you've got a special vehicle to be able to do this, I'd like to be able to bear it in mind for the future. I don't have to answer that.
Can I also ask for your indulgence? You know, I'm not sure if my understanding was that when Mr. Sachary was introducing himself, he said that he was an investment officer at what you call. Now, I think that colleagues are right. He's quite knowledgeable about this issue that we're talking, which worry us as a committee. We have been there this year two times, I'm not sure. But I wish that we could get the time to focus on this, what we call a project or program, including that one of the incident. Because sometimes I get the impression, but I don't want to speak for the VSA, but let me allow you to respond for yourself. I wanted to take from what Commissioner was saying. The PPSA is not saying it's teaching, that's all. So we can't speak for them. If the Department of Education says in November, when we do adjustments, we'll build schools, 50 schools by end of what you call it. They say that in November, say by end of March, we'll build those 50 schools with PPSA, and the schools are not built. Not one school built by end of March, and DPSA says nothing. There's nothing we can do. I mean, DPSA, the relationship is between them. Ours is up to oversee that thing. You promised us this thing, you didn't deliver on what you promised us.
No, I understand you, sir. I mean, in fact, it goes to the heart of the situation. I mean, in the context where the DPSA is doing project management for a profit, how appropriate is it to just call them and say, look, I'm in the framework, because why are the costs rising? It just happened to be part of government in that case, was at the DPSA. But I understand you were saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the institution that's accountable for making sure that those schools are built is the Department of Education. Right? It's the Department of Education. In fact, let me just take it to illustrate this thing. That's why you can see that, I mean, people say I'm emotional. I mean, you're interested in that. When I get emotional, so I was surprised. But I was not emphasizing more. Let me just illustrate this. You can have private sector government.
Sorry, sir.
But at least they are supposed to finish the
economy. No, it's fine, sir. Couldn't she have come with a team that he has introduced? And you should allow this team, because the TV will be given time to act. Or other people, but it can't be now that when somebody presents and when the question comes, who gives the answer? Because that gives it a really different impression.
We intervene, we interrupt, raise questions, and obviously BG feels that he should assist. Because we can allow the question to be, maybe if we had kept quiet and not interrupted, I don't think that this would have interrupted. So, because we interrupted, raise some other related questions. So I think he is raising it on that. I'm not defending what he said, but that's how I understand it. So.
No,
you are not defending. Okay, I will let you.
We are talking about Development Bank to make sure that everything that is developed, they deal with that. But when I look at it closely now, there are no more dealing with development. You know, because when you talk about development, there's no, consultants and everybody. That's why when I know development, then I don't hear. They will involve community, involve everyone, look for the skills that are around in the community to make sure that they upgrade those skills and move around with them. Because they involve community just to come up with labor. But in terms of developing them in skills and everything, I don't see it. That's why I was asking these entities, where are they, one of them? Where are they based? Because those are consultants. But what I want to say, when Comrade Nelson, he says, I want Alan to say, maybe Development Bank, I will come, maybe. They need to relook and say, how are they dealing? And align themselves in real development. Because at this moment, I think that the alignment has moved out of development. It's too much consultancy. They must realign themselves into development so that when you talk about job creation, we are really talking about job creation. Because when I even say, and Able is one of the companies that is doing that, I will keep question it. I will question it seriously because rural areas, I've never seen them there. In semi-urban areas, I've never seen them there. And you come and tell me that it created jobs. That is my challenge. So they need to realign themselves and make sure that whoever comes on board is a real serious job that is sustainable, like they're saying, that is developmental. When you talk about the things, a lot of things, not only buildings, talk about a lot of things in terms of the world development. Thank you.
Hopefully you must help me. It's an ancient study book now. You must really help me. You know, I thought that that time was we were kind of at least creating science, I mean, to the questions. But the questions were related to this. My request from you, let us focus on this presentation. And the question that was being responded there, perhaps we should be, I was allowing interruption based on this, help this CPA take all the capacity to deliver on all these projects that they are taking. That was the question that is being responded. That's why I was allowing interruption related to that, but sometimes we kind of, but leadership, I can't say it's leadership to me, but in my leadership, you have got to assist me.
Yes, I would say from the question that Umamblo has just mentioned, I've already discussed those issues. I mean, there's business reviews that I talked about earlier, and then the other one is around the fact that, and maybe this was just part one of the examples I mentioned. There's 30 odd number of projects which are sitting across the provinces, which I mentioned also earlier, so that we're going around to actually help people to develop projects. But also, against the cost that we should not just go out and spend a lot of money. We look at the fact that the job fund it doesn't have the capacity in terms of saying we want to help this one individual or that particular individual or that particular individual. If we've got an intermediary that applies and gets funding and uses its own money, 50% of it, sometimes more, to partner with us to create small businesses wherever they are sitting, those intermediaries. Some of them are national, some of them are four provinces, some of them one province, three provinces, and so on. So we will actually look at that intermediary and help the ultimate beneficiary, being the black person or being the young person, unemployed, who is coming from an a place which has got high unemployment rates, to come get a job in those little companies that are being informed by that particular intermediary. So in terms of saying, are we going down to all the provinces? Yes, we are. But are we going down to the places that everybody knows today? Right? I cannot say confidently we are. Because we can only cover South Africa as much as we can. If we were to double the number of people, double the number of money, double everything, we could go and actually plant people across the country. But that's not what we want to do. We want to make sure that when we spend the money, we spend it properly, and we take into account the risk considerations that come with it. And we don't just spend the public money for the sake of spending it. We want to make sure that it actually generates what it's supposed to generate. Hence, the document that Steve was talking about in terms of what we've developed over the period up to 2012, the MOAs and all the frameworks that we developed, they help us to make sure that we actually achieve those particular things. Now, in terms of the other question about the development hub, the bank is still developing. I would invite the chairman to schedule a specific meeting where the bank will come in and just present where it has actually done development, because it's more now about being out there to say yes, we have done 1, 2, 3, or being sitting in the background and saying let us just do the work and get the people to benefit on the other side. So the bank has not really done enough marketing. I can say that confidently. Has not done too much marketing and saying we have done this and we've done this. So in going forward, I think we are inviting you, Chairman, to actually say something for the bank to do that. Lastly, on the school part, can I request that I meet with you after the meeting, if you do not mind? We can discuss and then get the people who are in that space to operate and actually speak to you on the phone. I can give you the number, I can phone them. Then you can actually ask them all the different questions that you need to ask. Because I am ring-fenced in the trust fund as a person. But I know about what happens in the school because I sit on the executive committee of the development fund where the schools are sitting, are coming up. But when you want to go into the intricacies and the details, I don't have 100% of the details. I'll actually make sure that I can get someone to give you that full detail.
No, this is not for me. It's for the committee. It's not for me. It's for the benefit of all the members. You know why I asked that question? It's because you mentioned the reason, some of the reasons that led to the delay. You know, and some of the reasons that you've raised are reasons that we've never heard of. When we were in a meeting with Department of Education and DBSA together in one meeting. And that's where this problem of escalation of costs and other things came up. And I think we will never, I think we need more time with treasury. So that even if we need more time with treasury. Not a few hours. Maybe we need a workshop. Yeah, with them, so that we, you know. No, we don't use the right, it's not news of in the West, some news are not in the West, but we do need that, because there are a number of issues that we need to clarify and to understand, so that all of us, we move to one direction and understand, agree, which is, this is where we think things are not going right, and how are you going to go forward? Because really, as you are saying, maybe some of the questions, so this is just about the question, but I think we need more time. It's not enough. We might not agree with you, yeah, but seriously, because once we talk about capacity, it does not mean that you say a person is not competent, but it means the more people, humans, that need to be headed for that, because if you don't have enough capacity, even if you are competent in the job, you will appear like somebody who is not competent, because you can't get to where you want to get to because you are lacking of some skills, you know. So I think we need more time here. The sooner we reschedule that time, I will schedule that time, the better. I'm saying schedule there, not a schedule.
May I request that Comrade Mashiroman just continues with me, because I have another meeting now at 12 that I need to attend. It will also assist other meetings to deal with other things. But I think the meeting is almost at the end. But I think the issue that Comrade Hengen is raising is important. I think that Treasury has said that really means what the question is. A lot of common understanding. Treasury's responsibility in terms of oversight and our is one that really needs to be promoted. You know, I'm not sure we've got two responsibilities, we've got a certain number of responsibilities at the level of the life function where brothers are spent, but at the level of oversight, where we need the services of producing this quarterly section or secondary two reports, we really need to think down this brother. I agree with Comrade Hini. And have that common understanding, because we can move from one, what we call it, understanding, all of us. I'm not sure, I think that you were still answering other questions. Yeah, so I'm also ending over.
Okay, I will be quick so I can at least make sure that people are released earlier. A number of questions and concerns were raised around the personnel establishment of the treasury, as well as the vacancies. And Honorable Kandek, I think he went better to ask issues around race, gender, in terms of our vacancy levels. Most of the answers here, you would have noticed that the DG touched on these questions when he was doing his presentation regarding the reduction of vacancies from 14% to 9.5%. I will just touch those areas where I believe DG did not touch on what your question raised. There was a concern as to why the Treasury reducing its establishment. If you look at the statistics at my disposal, the deduction speaks only to 19 positions out of an establishment of over 1,200. Therefore, what it means is, as honorable members would be aware, we have an opportunity to revisit the strategic plan of the department on an annual basis. Although the strategic plan is 3 years, but on an annual basis, you need to refocus, reorganize, look into whether there are new challenges facing the department. So based on that analysis, from last year to this year, we thought it proven that 90 of these positions are not necessarily what the department needs. However, what we wouldn't do is to try to replace them immediately with the scarce skills that we think we need. So it's a process that must be logical. First, we abolish mostly the support functions, and the intention is to create. And you see when we come next year, probably or during the year, that our establishment would increase. There are a number of chief directors that we need to increase. And they're based exactly on the concerns that the members are raising to say, are we adequately capacitated? It's a challenge. We need to refocus, we need to reorganize, we need to restructure. So we are cognizant of that challenge, and then we are in the process of trying to create positions that matter most to us, as opposed to just the support functions. In terms of the vacancy, as previously alluded to, it has gone down, both in percentage as well as the actual numbers. The challenge again in this area is our attempt to get the skills that are necessary to support the treasury to discharge obligations. I have a bit here with statistics based on the questions from Honorable Fantake. I don't know if that will be useful for me to read the numbers today. Out of our vacancies, from which level, or maybe you would prefer to have it sent to the committee.
copies, pieces that are available will be someone's own copies right now.
Yeah, in terms of the echelon numbers, we have a slide, so that's the other thing. The other thing I need to just highlight is even if we have reduced the establishment itself, actually the number of employees, because you have an establishment and you also have people employed. In that regard, we have increased our staff personnel by 39 people, even if the establishment itself has been reduced. So it was more a question of realigning what the department needs to do. I think I have covered all the questions regarding establishment vacancies. I said there are other issues of pure statistics we can provide them. I don't want to say that I'm taking C level, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, so that we can provide them to the committee.
You referred to the fact that you have 1,200. And then they were reduced by 19 headcounts.
From the previous, this 1279 already taken into account the reduction of the team from the
previous. Oh, taken into account that reduction. Oh.
So this is the status with 1290 to 1271.
Yeah.
1290 to 1271. That's your difference of 19. So we are quite a big department there, over 1,200. So, yeah.
We need further clarity in the Honorable Mukul, because you're also part of the. Do we need any further clarity, or should we wait for the papers that are going to print? Submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they've gone to print it. Because our concern really is to know where it emanates from the fact that here is the department which seems to be using another department to do its job, which is mainly our concern, because if we had a strong national treasury, what do you call it, the work you need, personnel, some of the work would be directly oversighted and monitored through the department instead of us seeing some issues which could have been done through the department and eliminated some of the questions you are asking that has to do with understanding. Because if we had skillful people to that can see that something is happening there where we are supposed to transfer funds, what can we do here? Maybe the cost of vacancies and lack of skilled staff within the national treasury would assist us in trying to address some of the issues of understanding somewhere in the province or within an entity which has to enable development. If they are picked up directly from the department, it's unlike waiting for the next, the first quarter for something like submission of invoices and picking up that there's some inefficiency in a municipality or in a province which could have been picked up before we come to the first quarter and ask ourselves, what should we do now, because we are now nearing another financial year and there's understanding and what type of interventions should we bring, because the main aim here is to make sure that the money we approve as appropriation is properly spent based on the fact that there's planning, the capacity, and all the tools that we need to make sure that the money is properly spent. We don't sit here wasting some hours talking about understanding and not coming to an agreement that this is where the challenges are. Because if we know where the challenges are, together we can address them, because we are the ones who are listened to during the day, saying we adopt the appropriation bill. Very soon we'll be adopting the adjustment bill, and then it all comes back to us when we go to do our oversight. This is the money we adopted. We are not trying to hold back to the Eastern Cape money, that the 700 million that we approved during in November during the adjustment period. We approved the money, and already August, not even a cent is not a percentage that we need is properly used. So with your assistance and proper mechanisms in place, we'll be sending them confidently, approving budgets, approving adjustments, approving everything, instead of saying now, let's go back to our money bill act and use whatever clause we have to use, because the money is not properly used. We don't want to reach that stage. We want to be able to say, let's do the right thing at the right time. Thank you.
That I need to hear from Treasurer is the mechanism to deal with the vacancies. We hear what you have done, but then how do you deal with the problem? How are you intending to deal with the problem? Taking account you have the number of graduates who are out there. Not all of them will fit in your situation, but I'm sure there are some of them who are there.
All I'm asking from Treasurer is to say, because I could pick up that some of the things are happening because there's no planning. If they can start to plan in advance and deal with actual, I don't think we'll be sitting here talking about understanding. Like I'm making a practical example of the job fund where they over. I just said for that, because for me, they should have known some of the things to say. It's not only a paper plan. Make sure that whatever they spend on the paper, they go and make sure that at least 90% they are correct. So that they should not. They are planning for me. It's all that I'm picking up that is lacking. So they should work on it. Thank you.
Okay, the I think from the office of the CFO, it's one of the things I emphasize in the initial program, the issue of proper planning. And now we have, and we do that, especially even from the, we realize there are some of the aspects which are related to procurement. So we've got a demand management which is in place, which is focusing on some of these things. You say that you bend on this period, do this, and you have not done it. And there's a measure which is very unpopular now, which is going to be getting unpopular, is that if you have not done anything within this period, within a certain estimate, we will declare that money back to the field. Because in fact, in this period that you're supposed to do 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that has not been done. And there's over transparency in terms of now defending which is happening. So and we are enforcing that. And it goes back even to the effect of a compensation of employees. I can tell you that at this moment, as much as those plans win, the position which are vacant at this moment is the one which we are going to deal with in terms of ensuring that we fill those positions before anything else we could say that you want additional funding. So that's the focus, to say that we need to focus, and now that's why we've came down in terms of now. There were some, if you see that difference of 90, some were more of PA, team assistants, or administrators. But now we are focusing on the core. We say, let us focus on the core, the business, which is, but that doesn't literally mean that it will be less cost. Let me call it. It means that we are now getting specialized skills in certain areas, and from that, and we're able now to focus on our mandate. So those are the things which are coming in place. It has no set those issues of planning. It's not like we say, you know, but we have to go through a normal proper processes
Even as we're speaking, last week we were discussing as DDGs in the process to say that all the allocations in relationship, nothing is American, is not explained. They must know that we'll implement a cut in relation to anything which is unexplained. There will not be an incremental budgeting process, you know, in that process. It's a number of things, but of course we have to do those measures. But it goes, we could only see through an improvement, probably from the financial point of view. But it doesn't also mean that we 100% spend. Let me put it very clearly that we are not going to spend 100% because we would still need to manage those ones where we provide savings in the and through the intervention which we are putting in my office to say that instead of traveling in terms of now business, we are forcing everyone to travel in economic CDGs, for example. So it has transpire back to the same. And if anyone wants to pay in terms of traveling, we could arrange you because those are the things that all DDGs within the department they travel through economic class. So it's one of the interventions which we are putting in place.
The issue of JPEGs and graduates.
Well, we've got two programs which we are running. We've got Chartered Accountant Academy, where we training Chartered Accountant in terms of to be qualified, and as an institution in terms of it's got its own success possibly which would have provided that at least last year we've got 100% pass rate for people who qualify for Chartered Accountant. And we've got an intensive program which we are having 71. I mean, every year we are recruiting 71 interns. So that tells you in terms of that number, and most of those are brought within the institution. So, and that program, intensive program, is 2 years. It goes all over from economic policy to finance, research, to all the other areas, human resources, so that at least we create that pipeline within the process. So, and I think it's where. With the statistics which are reflected within the department. So that's part of those. If you say it is enough, I can say it is not enough. It's part of the intervention which we are doing.
Thank you very much. Let's thank the committee for the opportunity and indicate, of course, that I mean the opportunity to have a workshop, because when it's a workshop, I think that it's completely different context. In particular, to just unpack this thorny issue of the expectation from the committee, and it might even be valuable to extend it beyond one committee, because what we are encountering here is not different from others, where the expectation of what Treasury is legally supposed to do can technically be able to do differs in terms of how it's viewed by people outside from those from within. So that we don't have misunderstandings where, you know, and it may well be that our own understanding of the role is incorrect. It may also be that the understanding of those outside the Treasury of the role of the Treasury is incorrect. And I suspect that in the discussion we would come out better able to understand the role. Then when we are held to account, we would sort of be a discussion about why are you not doing the part, because you would have told us the expected and would have shown each other the legal basis for the expectation, and therefore there would be no harm about it. I mean, it's we understand, we respect Parliament, we understand that their expectation, but they've got to be in line with the law. And from our side, we also have got to make sure that we're not leaving gaps in terms of our role as it's described by the law. And to take the point about planning, I mean, we will have to get it better as we get along. Certainly on the Rocks Fund, we've learned lessons now, because it was a new thing, completely new, last year. A fresh idea which only really matured at the very late stages of the budget process, and therefore there are certain things that we couldn't anticipate. But as Mr. Kasha was indicating, we are pleased with the exercise, and I've directed the team. Even this year, I've said, look, to the extent that there was a margin that we will not be able to spend this year, there is no point why in the adjustment budget we cannot declare that money back
and to the extent that there will be departments that may be in need of the money and will be able to use it, then it can go to those departments, and we can only get better at this thing. There is a risk, though, which I want to highlight to the committee, that, I mean, the experience I've had with this job fund, and I can assure you, when we come back to account when our annual report gets published, it will probably be as rough as it was today, if not more. There is a risk that if we don't work together and sympathetically on programs like this, which I know, people will be afraid to start in UC. When someone comes to me and says, for instance, you know, I've got a great idea which could create jobs and stuff like that, I will ask them a million questions now before I'm convinced to take it up, because I don't want to be explaining stuff. And that there is a risk, but I hope that that person does not creep me, because the country can suffer, by the way, if all of us get scared to start anything new, because you will be roasted alive for it. I hope that I won't get to that stage, but I'm just feeling that I'm close to it.
Thank you very much, Nisi, and for our closing input, and to Jay Yellow and George, the interaction. And after this interaction, we have thanked each other, and we haven't seen you for a long time. Only saw you during the health train issue, and this is the second time. And that day we were also sympathetic. So today we are just saying, let's get the truth and move on. Let's get the job done, and no one should be afraid to come out with new ideas. Because those new ideas or old ideas are going to be corrected in here, and then you'll be having a bottle of water and your team. So thank you very much to the DB and his team and the DBSA. Thanks, and the meeting is closed.